It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We are learning throughout this book of Revelation two main themes. Number one, that the first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. This prevents individuals from using their opinions or traditions or their suppositions to interpret the Word of God. Scripture interprets Scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We are also learning that the book of Revelation has an abundance of symbolic language. And even though the Bible uses symbolic language throughout the Old and New Testaments, and specifically throughout the book of Revelation, the main theme is to understand that all symbolic language still has a literal meaning, a very practical meaning that applies to us in the present tense. And as we are learning more about the Great Tribulation, we are learning that God does not need man-made devices to judge the world. God does not need nuclear bombs to judge the world. And God is not using man-made devices to judge the world. God himself bears witness to this methodology of using the weather, supernatural phenomena, as a part of his judgment. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13, gives witness on God using the weapons of his indignation. God not using man-made weapons as part of his judgment during the Great Tribulation, but the weapons of his indignation. Furthermore, scriptures teach in Psalm 18, verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Not only will we witness 100-pound hailstones during the Great Tribulation, but these coals of fire may be the very volcanic boulders that spew out from volcanoes and from the fissures that crack the earth's surface. God is using supernatural intervention, so much so that we've learned in chapter 6, individuals hiding in the rocks and caves of the mountains look up and understand that the judgment is coming from on high and not from man. God is using supernatural weather phenomenon to bring down judgment on the world. God is using supernatural hurricanes that cannot be measured, supernatural tornadoes that cannot be measured, earthquakes both in frequency and in intensity, volcanic eruptions that happen in known volcanoes, and as fissures begin to crack the earth's surface in the land and the sea, molten lava spews up to change the very geographic structure of the world, to remove mountains and islands from their places. Molten lava and gargantuan boulders, fiery boulders that spew out and pepper the earth from the volcanic activity and the fissures across the globe. Storm surge, winds, global fires, meteor showers, and such like is God using to bring down his wrath on a rejecting world that refuses to receive the love of God through Jesus Christ. In addition to the Great Tribulation judgment, we are learning the two main purposes of the Great Tribulation is to bring Israel back to repentance, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and receive salvation and deliverance through Christ. And for the Gentiles that have missed the rapture and were left behind, to also bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals will begin to look during the Great Tribulation to man and to government, global government, to save them in the form of the Antichrist, and eventually this global government, this Antichrist and the false prophet, through their actions, will cause the world to continue to implode. Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 8. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Here we see in verse 1 that this is a parenthetical insertion that speaks to a delay in judgment during the Great Tribulation. As chapter 6 we learned, the seven seals are beginning to be opened in terms of God's judgment at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Here in chapter 7 there's a short delay to protect sea and land from judgment. Scriptures teach in Isaiah chapter 40, "It is he that sitteth on the four corners of the earth." God is protecting the sea and land from destruction during the Great Tribulation in order to seal individuals in this particular chapter. Verse 2 speaks of this seal, and throughout scriptures there are many examples of individuals being sealed. Ezekiel chapter 9 gives an example, individuals sealed during the time of their habitation in Jerusalem in order to mourn. Cain sealed in order for individuals not to take vengeance on him for killing his brother Abel. We as Christians are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians and the book of Ephesians. This particular seal throughout the scriptures, whether invisible or visible, is still literal in meaning and still applies practically. Proof is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. "The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity." This particular seal, as we see, distinguishes individuals between those that belong to God and those that do not. This seal distinguishes individuals from those that are believing in God and those that do not believe in God through Jesus Christ. Seals also distinguish between those that are protected by God and those that are not protected by God. Especially here in chapter 7 during the Great Tribulation. Verse number 4 through 8. "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Here we see the 144,000 Jews during the Great Tribulation, 12,000 times 12 tribes, going to evangelize the world and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Here we see that Dan is conspicuously removed from this list. This is perhaps because Dan was the first tribe to begin to go into the depths of idolatry as taught in detail in the book of Judges, particularly chapter 18. The tribe of Dan does have a promise to inherit its reward as spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 48. However, the role of Dan being used to evangelize the world during the Great Tribulation is not in effect. This is evidence also of God's mercy and grace during a time of great judgment on the world, as he is still sending out his missionaries, his emissaries, his witnesses, individuals used for the promulgation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the 144,000 Jews, to bring the nation of Israel back to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of any hardship, in the midst of any crisis, in the midst of any turmoil, in the midst of any catastrophe, God is always reaching out to those in love through the spoken witness, through the written witness, through the witness of the Holy Spirit pricking and convicting individuals' hearts, to let them know that God loves them and give them evidence within their spirit to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Here we see the continuation now of the Great Tribulation. Chapter 7 was that parenthetical aside that delayed the destruction and judgment upon the land and sea in order to seal the 144,000 Jews that would go out and evangelize the world and the nation of Israel. In chapter 6, we left off on the sixth seal, and in chapter 8, after the parenthetical aside, in chapter 7, we see in verse 1, the seventh seal. This seventh seal is a calm before the storm. It is silence for a literal half hour. It is literally space to repent. After the onslaught of chapter 6, judgment of the six seals, God gives a reprieve, not only in chapter 7 to bring 144,000 sealed witnesses, the 144,000 Jews to witness to the world and the nation of Israel. God also, in the seventh seal, chapter 8, verse 1, gives silence in heaven, a stay of execution, if you will, for space to repent. This is also the calm before the storm, as the seven trumpets and the seven bowl judgments will continue to intensify during the Great Tribulation. How merciful God is to give space to repent. Verse number 2 through 6. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had their seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Here we see in these verses in chapter 8 that there is a preparation for judgment. Trumpets throughout the scriptures are used for many reasons. Trumpets assemble the people for worship. Trumpets assemble the people for war. Trumpets announce the entrance of royalty. Trumpets are used also in the celebrations of the holy feasts, which ring out for redemption and worship and praise and celebration. Here we see trumpets being used to assemble the angels that are going to be used for judgment. Verse number 3 speaks of a golden censer. This speaks of gold in terms of God's divine nature, and that this is speaking of divinity. It's speaking also of the duties of a high priest, which includes service on the altar, the service of incense, which symbolizes the prayers of saints going up to God. And these prayers are also the prayers in chapter 6, verse 10, the tribulation saints in the fifth seal, the souls under the altar, if you will, that cried out for righteous indignation in their prayers to God. And we see in verse number 5 that the casting down of the censer symbolically back to earth speaks of the prayers being answered in the form of judgment, because as a result of the casting down, there were voices and thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. This speaks to the judgment of God, or the continuation of the great tribulation. So the prayers of the tribulation saints in chapter 6 are answered here as a continuation of the great tribulation in the form of judgment, voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Verse number 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Here we see the first trumpet is, once again, supernatural. Hail and fire are two different elements on the earth and cannot coexist simultaneously unless there's supernatural intervention. God is using this particular judgment as echoed in the time of Moses' judgment in Exodus chapter 9 to show that this particular judgment is supernatural and comes from on high. God is bearing witness that the chastisement and judgment is from him. As in the day of Moses, the same judgment was given so that Pharaoh can understand that this judgment is from God Almighty himself and not from any other false gods or from man of that time. This hail and fire is also mingled with blood. This speaks to redemption, the shedding of blood, a reminder to the world that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, a reminder to the world that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and forgives, and that the world should turn to Christ. This particular judgment in verse 7 is destroying one-third of vegetation, causing one-third of all life through vegetation to be non-edible, non-habitable. Verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Here we see symbolic language, as it were, in verse number 8, but still with a literal meaning. This second trumpet in verses 8 and 9 can be spoken of as a meteor or meteors. It can be spoken of as volcanic fiery boulders coming from the fissures that crack the earth during this time throughout the globe, and volcanoes that spew out molten lava throughout the world. When these volcanoes open up and belch out fire and chemicals and ash and such like, it causes the land and the sea to become inhabitable for man and beast. And here we also see there is a ceasing of navigation of one third of the sea. As we move through the Great Tribulation, there's no place to hide, there's no place to run, but to the loving arms of Jesus Christ in repentance. Verses 10 through 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Here we see, as previously in verse 8 and 9, salt water was affected as the oceans and seas were judged upon. Here in verse 10 and 11, fresh water, potable water is judged upon. Drinkable water is judged upon. Here in this third trumpet, this speaks of a world rejecting the living waters of Christ. Here, wormwood, bitter waters, speaks of rejecting the living waters of Christ, which is the life of Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus, as the potable, drinkable waters are made bitter, it's symbolic of the world rejecting the living waters of Christ, rejecting the life of Christ, rejecting the opportunity for everlasting life. Verse number 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Here we see the fourth trumpet echoing the darkening of the luminaries of the world. On the fourth day, God created the luminaries to shine in the world. And here the fourth trumpet is darkening the luminaries. This is symbolic of a world rejecting the light of Christ, which speaks to the life of Christ. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This fourth trumpet is judgment, as speaking to a world that's rejecting the light of Christ. This speaks to rejecting the love of Christ in their heart. The light which shines on individuals' hearts, the love of Christ, a sense of right and wrong, conviction by the Holy Spirit to let them know that they are in need of a Savior, to bow their knee and receive the love of God through Christ in forgiveness, in cleansing, and in salvation. Verse number 13, And I beheld and heard, an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Here we see that these three woes speak of impending doom. These three woes speak of three more judgments to come: the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet. God, once again, because of His grace and mercy, is giving forewarning to the world. This is a warning in the form of mercy, spoken of as a global loudspeaker coming from an angel himself throughout the world, that the world has no excuse to continue in their rejection of God. For God is sending an angel to let them know that judgment is to come and judgment is to continue. And here's an opportunity to fall down on their knees and cry out to God and say, "God, have mercy on me." In the midst of the great tribulation, there are sprinkled time and time and time again opportunities where God is giving stays of execution, where God is giving forewarning to the foreboding judgments to come, where God is sending missionaries and emissaries, individuals sealed that they may promulgate the gospel, God sending forth an angel to let individuals know that judgment will continue. And here's an opportunity to look up and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, throughout the midst of the great tribulation, is ever merciful. God giving silence for half an hour and space to repent. God is ever merciful and ever gracious in the midst of this great tribulation. This is Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 8. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.